Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio, Hour 2. And this hour may not have much to do about marijuana, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. Over the next few, from now on, actually, Hour 2 is going to be Toker Talk Radio. And what that means is we are tokers, and we're going to have some talk radio. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to talk just about marijuana, even though we talk about toke about talk and all that stuff I say in the intro. But you know what? I've been talking about pot for 8 years now, right? And we're at a point where 54 to 56 to 61% of the American people agree with us at this point. So I'm kind of at a point in my career where I'm thinking, like, how much more do I really need to say? How much more do I really need to talk about weed? It looks like I'm winning. Looks like I've convinced a lot of people. They're on my side now. So from time to time, when appropriate, we're going to delve into other political arenas. We're going to delve into other topics because I think one of the wonderful things about marijuana is how it brings people together who would never be brought together ever in their life otherwise. I'm talking about my hippy-dippy liberal pot smoker, tie-dye, patchouli, dreadlock type folks here in the Pacific Northwest and elsewhere around the country. I just see a lot of them here. And my conservative, gun-toting, flag-waving, God-loving, libertarian-leaning conservative types in the rural areas who also like pot, right? What other topic brings together such a wide range of political viewpoints in other arenas than does marijuana, right? I mean, I know pro-life pot smokers. I know pro-choice pot smokers. I know heavily religious pot smokers. I know atheist pot smokers. I know straight pot smokers. I know gay pot smokers. I know black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American pot smokers, right? So I think if we can get past, and this is going to be hard, if we can just put aside the tribalism for a second, gun grabber, or gun humper, right? Let's put aside the tribalism and the extremism of these arguments. And instead of trying to start the discussion way out on our side, whichever side of the debate you might be on, and instead see what, at least from both of our viewpoints, can we find any common ground? Is there anything we can agree to when we talk about this? And let's start from there. Let's figure out what we agree on first, and then let's see where we disagree and to see how far apart that is, and can there be any reconciliation there? Can there be any adjustment? Because I'll tell you, when this happens week after week, month after month, and the response collectively from our society is, oh, well, yeah, oh, well, bunch of school kids got shot up, yeah, don't change nothing. Oh, a bunch of folks at a club got shot up. Eh,
oh, well, yeah, nothing. And nothing you can do. It's like a tornado. It's like a flash flood. It's like a wildfire. It's just an act of nature. Nothing we can do about it. We're helpless. We're hopeless. We can't change a damn thing. Nothing. Nothing can be done. We just have to accept it. You know, if you lived in Australia, you'd have to accept the fact that something poisonous might bite you. If you lived in Tokyo, you might have to accept the fact that Godzilla will come out of the water, or there'll be an earthquake or something. Right? You live in Siberia, you might be risking frostbite. And if you live in America, well, when you go out shopping or to the church or to the theater or some the mall or something, you might be killed by a random bullet. And we just can't do anything about it, I guess. Just have to live with it. It's no big deal. That's just the way it is. We're just the place where guns can kill you. That's all. I don't believe that's true, folks. Stay tuned. We'll come back and talk about it.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested. Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network, founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Carson doesn't believe in the Geneva Convention.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Creeping up on 9 after the hour, and we're talking about the horrific massacre in Orlando, 50 dead, 53 injured, by a homophobic religious extremist. And I like to say religious extremist, not Islamic extremist, because it's religion that's the problem in the homophobia. Christianity's got just as much homophobia. Hell, Ted Cruz was at a campaign event where he stood there with some pastor who called for gays to be killed. So, you know, blood's on both sides' hands, especially after we pick up this kid in Santa Monica, a 20-year-old in Santa Monica, who was heading to the Los Angeles Gay Pride Parade with automatic weapons and or the automatics, but with weapons and ammo and liquid to make IEDs with, who's on his way to that pride parade. So heavily doubt he's Islamic, but anyway, or Muslim, I should say. Anyway, that's a diversion. Let's talk about the actual problem. And I started this hour talking about where can we find middle ground. So the first place I'd like to find middle ground. And I'd like to do addressing this let's just call it left and right. Although I don't think that's necessarily an accurate way to characterize the gun issue, because I got a lot of liberal Democratic friends who are heavy into guns, and I got a lot of conservative friends who think there ought to be some gun control. So I don't even know if it's a left-right issue anymore, but let's call it gun humper, gun grabber. Okay, why not? So let me address the gun grabber side first, the left, the hippy-dippy side. We're not going to ban all guns. It ain't happening. It's not going to happen. Just put away the Australia stuff, because it ain't happening. And furthermore, it shouldn't happen. We need to, on the left, on the gun grabber side, let's find the common ground to understand that our Constitution grants us an individual right to bear arms. I don't necessarily agree with that interpretation by the Supreme Court. I think the whole bullshit about the commas and the dependent clause and well-regulated militia was just there just because it doesn't really have any meaning. I think that's a bullshit interpretation, but it's the interpretation we got from the Supreme Court. It was the Heller decision, D.C. versus Heller, and it said that we have a personal right to bear arms, and I think that's justifiable. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness don't mean a whole lot if you can't defend your own life. So I am on board with that part of the gun aficionado argument, the constitutional part. It's in our Constitution. We have a right to bear arms. Where I get off that topic, though, is the idea that is completely unregulatable, that there can be no regulations afforded to our right to bear arms, because then that would be infringing on our right to bear arms. And even Justice Scalia, the late Justice Scalia, who authored the majority opinion in the Heller decision, said that this is not an absolute thing, your right to bear arms. It doesn't mean there couldn't be regulations. We're just saying these D.C. regulations went a little too far, but it doesn't mean you couldn't regulate the damn things. And for the other side that keeps saying this Constitution, right to bear arms, okay, if you really believe that the arms we have now, the AR-15s, the AK-47s, the 30-round magazines, etc., those kind of things being arms that are available under the Second Amendment, then why aren't you arguing for M-60s? And why aren't you arguing for Stinger missiles? And why aren't you arguing for light anti-tank weapons and tactical nukes? You know, arms. Because if you're not arguing for that, then you're tacitly accepting there is a line between military weapons and personal weapons. You're accepting that if you're not arguing for full civilian access to every possible weapon that the military has. If you are arguing for that, well, at least you're consistent. Daffy, but consistent. Really? You want regular civilians in possession of fucking Stinger missiles? Really? All right. So let's find the common ground on that there is a right to bear arms, and we're not going to get rid of all the guns. Can we agree to that on the left, on the gun grabber side? You're not taking away the guns. There are people who are going to have the guns. Now, on the right side, on the gun humper side, can we agree that randomly sprayed bullets in public places are a bad thing? That's the thing that comes to my mind the most. You know, after every one of these events, Sandy Hook, Umpqua Community College, Aurora Theater, this one, after every single one of these, I get onto Facebook, I get on the internet, you know me, I live online. And all the arguments I see coming from the pro-Second Amendment crowd seem to just brush right on by the point that, hey, 50 people just got killed. 53 people just got injured. They just seem to brush right by that. Oh, you can't take this gun. And I wish they could grasp how it sounds and how it looks and how it feels to a lot of us out here. A lot of us, it feels like, oh, well, 50 people got shot, but that's the price that we have to pay so that I can go have some fun with an AR-15 in the desert shooting rats or whatever. Oh, well, 20 dead school kids and 6 dead teachers. Well, that's just the price of freedom, I guess. Now, there are some people who will honestly admit that point. I think we've got one in our chat room.
Michael in our chat room says, my job's not to worry about public safety or harm reduction. My job's to enforce the Constitution. Okay, that's logically consistent and honest. Who gives a fuck if we live, if 32,000 people a year die from guns? That's just the price of being the gun country. We get to be the gun country, so we just have to accept 32,000 deaths. At least that's logically honest. But for the rest of us, can we at least agree this is bad? Can we agree that sending our kids out, our wives, our husbands, our friends, knowing that we're walking around in civilian places, malls and theaters and shopping centers and churches and nightclubs, can we at least recognize that that's a terrifying way to have to live? To know that, like, just being out, because nobody else in the world, in the developed countries similar to the United States, yeah, obviously I'm not talking about Somalia, okay, but the countries like us, the Western European democracies, the Pacific democracies, this doesn't happen. This just doesn't happen. Now, again, the extreme is Australia, Port Arthur, 1996. They have a massacre with 35 killed. Their government says, bam, we're taking the guns. They confiscated 650,000 guns in a buyback program and have extremely strict regulations. That's the extreme. But we got other countries, Germany, France, Britain, you know, lots of them, where, yeah, people die from guns. Gun death doesn't ever just go away. But the numbers are in the 2 digits or 3 digits. And our numbers are in the 5 digits. There's something wrong with us. And that's the thing. A lot of people, especially, you know, Constitution grabbing, you know, flag waving patriots, can't accept the idea that the United States might not be as good as some other country. But folks, we are the outlier. This does not happen anywhere else. And I think it's incumbent on us to ask why. If we care, do we care? And again, some of us don't care. Eh, bunch of people got shot. Well, I still got my AR-15 and my 80,000 rounds of ammo and my Glock and my Sig Sauer and my, you know, the 60 guns they own or whatever. All right, so that's the first thing. Can we find some common ground in two things? Number one, we have a right to bear arms. Number two, randomly sprayed bullets in public places are a bad thing we ought to try to reduce. Could we at least agree to those two things? We have a right to bear arms. Randomly sprayed bullets are bad. If we can't come to a consensus on just those two things, we can't make any changes here, folks. We got to at least agree to those two things. Randomly sprayed bullets are bad. People have a right to bear arms. Now, I'm going to take the next couple of segments and start talking about the gun debate itself, because I've been inspired. Last night, I watched a whole bunch of videos, and I'll recommend a couple of them to you, right? First of all, check out Jordan Klepper, Good Guy with a Gun. Jordan Klepper, K-L-E-P-P-E-R. Jordan Klepper, Good Guy with a Gun. It's about the only clip from the Daily Show without Jon Stewart that I've enjoyed. And it's amazing. And it's not the only one out there. There's a clip out there from ABC News and a clip out there from the Washington Post. Three different clips out there of tactical simulations that take your so-called good guy with a gun and put him in these scenarios, these demonstrations. And they show that, guess what? Good guy with a gun, 9 times out of 10, shits his pants, gets shot up, shoots up other civilians. See, these kind of live fire situations are stressful and difficult for the freaking SWAT teams and military extraction teams that train on this shit 8 hours a day all the time. It's hard for them to deal with these situations. And we're expecting Fred with his beer belly and his friends that like to shoot up cans in the desert with their AR-15s because they're big macho studs are somehow going to be better trained, better able to take down the bad guy with the gun, right? Sure.
No, they're just going to shoot the place up and get themselves shot up.
Silent Green is people!
Silent Green is people! Yeah, all right. So when we come back, we'll talk about the gun debate and how, look, sensible regulation does not mean that all the guns are being taken away. And the Second Amendment does not mean you can protect yourself from a tyrannical government anymore. That ship has sailed. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk more about this.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
The National Cannabis Industry Association presents the 3rd Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo. The most influential business event in the marijuana industry returns for 3 days in Oakland, California. Join your fellow industry leaders and policy influencers June 20th through 22nd for an in-depth educational experience and network with more than 3,000 cannabis professionals. The 2016 Cannabis Business Summit and Expo will feature keynote presentations from California Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and NUMMI Organic Tea CEO Ahmed Rahim, giving you insight into cutting-edge policy discussions and the most innovative business practices. All this, plus the most comprehensive expo floor in the industry. The Cannabis Business Summit and Expo, June 20th through 22nd in Oakland. Don't miss out. Register right now at CannabisBusinessSummit.com and save 15% off registration using promo code RADIO15. That's CannabisBusinessSummit.com, promo code RADIO15.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
Get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, we're talking about guns. And I mentioned a video before I went to break. Jordan Klepper, good guy with a gun. And it shows just what it takes to be a good guy with a gun. Starts off with him going to a state that has pretty lax gun laws. There's about 30 of them. I think he went to, was it Florida or Ohio? I can't remember. But he went to one of those states. And in order to get his gun and have his license permit there, he had to first pass a written test. It was 3-page, multiple choice test with questions like, true or false, when carrying a gun, you should point the muzzle away from people. Right? So we're talking an idiot level test that he had to pass. And then he had to go to a firing range, demonstrate, you know, that he could fire the gun at a paper target. And 2 hours later, like, that was it. That's all he needed. And he was then licensed and legal in 60% of the United States to be walking around with a gun. And then the rest of the video takes him to these law enforcement rapid response training teams in Texas, right? These guys that they have a abandoned elementary school, and they use it for live fire scenarios with like paintballs, right? Live fire scenarios to simulate active shooter situations. And in every single one,
Klepper ends up getting shot, ends up shooting other civilians, it's just a mess. It's just terrible. So let's dispense. So that's the first video. Let me get to the second video because I'm going to steal so much from it. I want to make sure they give credit. There's a comedian from Australia named Jim Jeffries. Go Google Jim Jeffries guns and watch the two parts that he does on guns in America. There is more truth in that 30 minutes of stand-up comedy about guns than any other thing I've ever seen. And one of the things I like about it, he's kind of like me. He says, look, it's in the Constitution. You have a right to bear arms. And I, you know, I think here's what's at the core. What's at the core of this. Fear. Fear is at the core of this. Fear and the illusion of safety. This whole good guy with a gun thing is the same kind of base level emotional gut reaction that leads people to think we can't do any damn thing about any regulation for any gun whatsoever. It's the same sort of emotion that leads people to accept taking off your shoes at the airport so we don't get bombed in the plane, right? It's that same idea of, well, if we do something, bad things will happen. Oh my God, right? It's this idea that somewhere, somehow, some bad guy's going to try to attack me and my family. And if I don't have my gun with me, oh no, I'll have let my family get killed without having fought back. Now, that's not an irrational fear. It's possible to happen. It's just not probable to happen. Like, I could run around all the time in terror that I could be struck by lightning and make sure that everything I wear and everywhere I go is rubber insulated and I'm never anywhere near open water or open field. Yeah, I could live my life that way. But I also recognize that, look, hey, lightning strikes, okay? And if I get struck by lightning and kills me, that's the way it goes. Sucks to be me, right? And yeah, you could be at home and suffer a home invasion where someone comes in to try to rape and pillage and kill you, but not likely. And the statistics show much more likely the gun in your house is going to be used to kill yourself or somebody you know. And so anyway, Jim Jeffries attacks these gun arguments and he makes the point, and I make the same point. There's really only one argument for the gun laws the way they are. And that argument is, fuck you, I like my guns. Because the rest of the arguments are rank bullshit. The first rank bullshit argument is, well, Second Amendment was formed so the people could defend themselves against a tyrannical government. Which, yeah, makes a lot of sense when the tyrannical government has muskets and cannons. And you have muskets. Yeah, you could probably fight off the tyrannical government. Today, the tyrannical government would have MRAPs and drones and Stinger missiles and air support and SEAL Team 6 and M60 machine guns and flashbang grenades and live grenades and thermite grenades and just... Really? You want to fight them off with your AR-15, right? You're gonna stand up against SEAL Team 6, you and your AR-15, against the tyrannical government. And here's the thing that gets me about that. All these people that want to hold the Constitution, oh, it's so holy, the Second Amendment is holy and sacrosanct, I shall defend the Constitution, haven't lifted a goddamn gun once when the tyrannical government was starting the war on drugs. Didn't lift a goddamn gun to stop the spying on American citizens that Edward Snowden revealed. Didn't lift a goddamn gun to deal with any of the massively tyrannical things our government has done to us as of late. Seems to me the only thing the Second Amendment worshiping people in the country would ever raise their guns against is someone trying to take their guns. Every other liberty, fuck it, you can have it. They don't give a shit. I haven't seen it once. Bring me that well-regulated militia. Let's go march on the DEA. When's that happening? Big macho patriot motherfuckers. When's that coming? Oh, no, no. Everybody's cool with all the liberties being taken, just so long as I can stroke my little gun hard on. So don't give me the we're going to defend against the tyrannical government bullshit, because you're not. Not going to happen. And the corollary of that argument is, why is it in every other country that's just like us, economically speaking, why is it in every other country their tyrannical governments aren't oppressing them? Why do they still have the right to vote in Australia? Why are there still free speech in England? Why is there still freedom of association in France? How come their tyrannical governments haven't shut down on them yet? You know, if you really want to know where the power lies against the tyrannical government, look at how easy it is to get a gun and how hard they're making it to vote. That's where the tyrannical government comes in, is the power of the vote, not the power of the bullet. I played this little thought experiment on my Facebook page, too, to test this. I said, all right. Let's say that there's a shooting that somehow trips America in such a way that 50 dead concert goers didn't, and 20 dead white school children didn't, and 9 shot African Americans in a church didn't. Somehow there's a shooting that finally changes America's mind. I don't know. Maybe someone shoots up a gun show or a NASCAR rally. I don't know. Something, right? Let's imagine that. Let's imagine there's some shooting somehow. Finally, it somehow sunk in. Maybe they shoot up one of those big white mega churches, right? Somehow it changes America's perspective. And there's a popular movement to repeal the Second Amendment. And it's the 28th Amendment to repeal the Second Amendment. And it's ratified through the House, and 3/4 of the state legislatures ratified. I know this is a complete fantasy. It'll never happen. But pretend it did. Pretend the 28th Amendment passes. The Second Amendment is repealed. And the county sheriff comes knocking on your door to take your guns. Are you going to give him the guns? Now, if you are that, I believe the Constitution is so holy and sacred guy, then you have to hand over your guns. The Constitution has within it this process of amendment. You know, it was the process that got us the Second Amendment in the first place, has this process of amendment that was lawfully carried out. And now the Constitution that you swore an oath to says to take everyone's guns. Are you going to give them up? Because if you're not, then fuck you with your whole supporting the Constitution thing. You just like your guns, regardless of whether the Constitution says you can have them or not. And if you are, if you are going to give up your guns, then I can believe that you support this Constitution. That's the point of that thought experiment. If you're not, you're willing to shoot the county sheriff. You're willing to shoot Bob, the county sheriff. You're willing to incite insurrection against the United States. You're ready to go down in the history books like the Confederacy as traitors against the United States because you didn't like that the majority changed the Constitution in a way you didn't like. So that's the point of that thought experiment. The next bullshit argument that Jim Jeffries talks about that I thought was just brilliant was the, I need to defend my family. Oh, I gotta have my guns to defend my family. Now, first of all, I'd like to know why you need the AR-15 with a 30-round magazine to defend your family, right? Like, what platoon did you piss off? But he makes the point that, like, if you've got a gun in the house and the stats show it, you're more likely to shoot yourself or someone you know with that gun than you are to defend yourself against some sort of robber. And people say, oh, not me, not me, I'm a responsible gun owner. Yeah, they're all responsible gun owners. I love that line. A law-abiding, why should you punish the law-abiding gun owner? Well, guess what? In almost every one of these mass shootings, the mass shooter was a law-abiding gun owner until the minute he started pulling the trigger. So telling me you're a law-abiding gun owner just tells me that you're one trigger pull from being the next massacre guy. I'm not saying you're going to do it. I am saying that everybody has their bad days. Some people sometimes get depressed. Sometimes they lose their mind a little. So this whole, I'm going to defend my family. Got to defend my family, right? So first of all, when the robber comes breaking into your house, where's the gun? Is it in your nightstand next to your bed? Great. Okay. So the robber breaks into the house and you've got the time to get in the nightstand, get your gun, load it, make sure the safety's off. And now you're ready to defend yourself against the guy with the gun or whoever it might be. Now he's a robber. He might've just come in just to rob shit. He sees you come out with a gun. Well, he just might shoot back. But also, how often is that the way the break-in happens? What if the guy breaks into your house and you're in the middle of having sex with the old lady? You got the gun right next to you at that point? What if you were in the shower? You're in the shower and the guy breaks in and you don't have time to run from the shower back to where the gun is stored. So yeah, if you're right there with your gun and it's loaded and the safety's off and you're sitting there crouched waiting for the guy to come in, yeah, maybe you can defend your family. But most of the time, you're not going to have the gun near you. You're going to be away from it unless you're one of those guys who's going to put a gun everywhere. Oh, I've got one next to the toilet, and I've got one right there by the front door, and I got one under the couch, and I got one under the taped under the table. And I guess you could be that guy. And then, of course, you've got these guns lying around. Next thing you know, it's your kid that's picking it up and shooting one of your other kids. A story I have to tell far too often on this show as well. We got more bullshit arguments when we come back. Stick around. Having a fun one today.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
We do have John McAfee. He's running for the Libertarian Party nomination for president. What makes someone like you want to take the reins of this?
We're so far behind, it's frightening. And in a cyber war, we can't hack into the Chinese. Back in 1979, they started building cyber defense systems. We didn't even think about it until 20 years ago. I see no candidates and certainly no one within government capable of dealing with this issue.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
As it relates to my brother, there's one thing I know for sure. He kept us safe.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a stump. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 39 after the hour, almost 40, and still talking about guns because, hey, that's on my mind. And I thought I'd interject here just an interlude that And in case people forgot, I like guns. I like guns. A couple summers ago, I was out in the Central Oregon desert shooting a Ruger 9mm, I think, and a pistol. I can't remember which pistol it was. A lot of fun. And that I come from a family of hunters, right? My mom and dad, celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, hunt elk, regularly go elk hunting, right? And, you know, I got cousins and uncles and aunts and that they like hunting too, right? And I was in the military. I've shot some really cool weapons. An M16 on full auto, that's fun. M60 machine gun when I was in sergeant school. Woo-hoo, that was a blast. So, pardon the pun. So, I get it, okay? I get how fun guns are and how cool they are. So, I'll come back to that. Let's, where I left off, I was talking about the home defense argument. Oh, I got to defend my family. Okay, so one, if you're going to defend your family, you're going to have a gun where you can get it. And you're not always going to be around the gun where you can get it. So if that's the case, you need to have more guns around where you can get it. And the more guns you have lying around where you can get it are places where your kids can get it. And then your kids end up getting the gun and shooting themselves or each other. And it's a story that plays out every week in America. Kids shooting each other because they found mom or dad's gun in the house. Okay. So you might be the guy that says, well, not me. I'm a responsible gun owner. I have a gun safe. I keep it in a safe, or I have a trigger lock or whatever. Well, in that case, you can't fucking defend your family when you need to, right? What? The burglar's going to wait for you to open the safe? Going to wait for you. Hold on. Now let me get this trigger lock off. Hold on, mister. So, you know, it's kind of some bullshit arguments, but I still accept it. Like I said, I'm Second Amendment, you got a right to bear arms and you have a right to self-defense. That's part of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So I really don't have the problem so much with there being a gun for self-defense. What I have the problem with is where we start drawing the line as to what self-defense is. And I think if you're living in a studio apartment in Compton, your self-defense might be different than if you're living in a gated community in Beverly Hills. And that might be different than your self-defense if you're living, you know, out in the rural hinterlands of East Texas or something, right? I get that too, right? I just don't think our default ought to be that any Tom, Dick, and Harry can walk into a Walmart and buy all the ammo he wants and can go to a gun show and buy a AR-15 from a private seller with no background check. I just think, aren't those some things we could take a look at? Could we not adjust this stuff? Because if I had the power to shape this, I would make it possible for American citizens to get damn near any piece of weaponry they want. And I'm talking all the way up to the Stinger missile kind of stuff too, right? But it ought not to be universally easy across the spectrum, okay? It's like I think about drugs, right? Like marijuana, mushrooms, ecstasy, LSD, those ought to be pretty freely available. We start getting into the cocaine and the heroin and the meth. I still think they ought to be legal, but there ought to be some restrictions and limitations on those kind of things. Well, I'm kind of the same way with guns, right? You want to have a .22 pistol. You want to have a .45, a revolver. You want to have something that shoots 6 bullets or less. That should be baseline. Like, yeah, you can have that. That's a self-defense gun. That's something you could defend yourself with. When we start getting into the area of semi-automatics, we start getting into, you know, large magazines, 30 rounds. What do you need to defend yourself from that you need 30 bullets in 30 seconds? You know, 30 bullets in 15 seconds or whatever. What platoon did you piss off? Now, Michael in the chat room did make a point about, have you read police reports about, you know, smash and grab robberies by gangs where 5 or 6 of them break in and blah, blah, blah. Again, something I think is probably exceedingly rare, but okay, let's suppose that happens. I would have a pathway for a person to be able to arm themselves to deal with such a thing. But it's got to be more than just, I'd like to buy a gun. It's got to be more than that. I mean, we sell ammunition online. Why couldn't there be quotas? You know, with OxyContin, that the federal government has a quota on how much can be manufactured. Why couldn't we do that with ammunition? set a limit on how much ammo could be produced. Why couldn't we? You know, there's almost 300 million guns in America. There's 0.88 guns per person in America, right? And most of the guns are owned by a very small and increasingly smaller minority of people. Most people in America don't own guns, but the few who do own a lot of them. So if we got 300 million guns, how about just a end to gun manufacturing? No more guns manufactured in the United States. Second Amendment doesn't say you have the right to manufacture guns, does it? Second Amendment doesn't say you have the right to sell ammo, does it? No, it says you have the right to keep and bear arms. Well, you got your arms. You got a whole bunch of them. You can keep them. Why not try that? That way, we're not taking anybody's guns. Hey, Jimbo, Bubba, keep all your guns. You got them? Keep them. We just won't make any new ones. No more new guns. So that means the guns in existence are all that there is, and now they become a little more worth. They have a little more worth, don't they? And eventually some of these guns will break down, right? So there'll be fewer and fewer guns eventually. And since there isn't an influx of new guns, the guns that are currently owned will be very valuable. And the cost of guns will go up. And it'll be harder to get a gun. Not impossible, but you could still get one. It's like Jim Jefferies says in his stand-up special the price of a gun on the black market in Australia, the same gun you could get for a few hundred dollars in America, costs $34,000 on the black market in Australia. $34,000, right? And he makes the point. Look, if you can come up with $34,000, you're probably doing okay in life. You're probably not the kind of person who's going to snap and go off and shoot up a post office or something. The guys that snap, those the ones with nothing left to lose, those are the guys that can scrounge up a couple hundred bucks, right? That was his point. I thought it was kind of funny. But it also brings me to another bullshit argument, and this is the one I get all the time because so many people know me as the anti-prohibition guy. Well, we can't have any gun regulations because, you know, Russ, prohibition never works. We tried to prohibit marijuana, didn't work. Prohibit heroin, that didn't work. Why would prohibiting guns work? Well, here's a few fucking reasons why. Number one, guns don't grow out of the fucking ground. Okay? They have to be manufactured. That takes some effort. That takes some smithing and such. And don't give me the, oh, well, there's 3D printing guns. Who do you know that owns a 3D printer? Okay? Aside from that. Guns take manufacturing. Pot grows out of the ground. Guns kill people. Pot does not. So stop with the whole pot prohibition didn't work, so gun prohibition didn't work, because it's bullshit. They have nothing to do with one another. Nothing to do with one another. And I would point out that actually drug prohibition has worked. Drug prohibition has worked when it's a drug for which the precursor chemicals are damn near impossible to get a hold of, and the chemical manufacturing of it requires a factory. You want to hear the drug that got prohibited that worked? Quaaludes. When's the last time you saw a Quaalude? Oh, and they're still out there, but damn hard to get. And this thing they say, well, prohibition never works. It does work to one extent, and that is controlling access. Right? Yeah. When weed was illegal back in Idaho, yeah, I could still get weed. But you know what a pain in the ass it was? I had to call my guy. He had to call his guy. I had to wait to hear the call back from my guy. Had to figure out where me and my guy were going to meet. I had to go to the ATM and get cash because he won't take a credit card or a check or debit card. And then I have to drive back and meet him at the parking lot, wait for him. It's 30 minutes before he gets there. And so, yeah, I could get weed, but it was a lot harder. And it cost $300 an ounce. Now, I can walk down the street, walk into the pot shop, and get me some weed for about $125 an ounce. And lots of different weed, right? So So don't give me the idea that the prohibition, and again, before we get too far, I'm not suggesting we have a prohibition on guns. Again, Second Amendment, we have a right to bear arms. I'm just saying, don't give me the bullshit argument that the prohibition on them wouldn't work, because Australia proved you wrong. Australia proved that prohibition of guns actually does work. And every study commissioned on this, the most recent meta-analysis that I just read, shows that countries and states that implement laws that restrict access, easy access to guns, not ban them, restrict easy access to them, have a corresponding reduction in gun deaths. It's like climate change, people. You can't argue it. It's just a fact. Countries that have more gun deaths. States in the United States that have more gun deaths. It's the only correlation you can make. You can't correlate the gun laws. And that's the first thing the gun people will do with you, too. They'll say, oh, well, see, California has all these strict gun laws, and Chicago has all these strict gun laws, and yet they have some of the highest gun rates in the world. And yeah, because those guns come from Indiana, and those guns come from Arizona, and they come from out of states where, you know, it's really easy to get a gun. That's why you need to have some sort of national regulation on this kind of thing. Guns are fungible. They cross state lines. So you can't say it's the laws that change whether or not they're... And that's a point that the gun people make. Let's see. Let me get to the other one. Let me see if I can remember the other one that I love, is the mental health argument.
It's not the gun. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Not really. Not really. I know a lot of people, and they don't kill people. In fact, I would say probably most of us. I think I'm safe in saying that. Most of us don't kill people. People don't kill people. Crazy, desperate people with nothing to lose kill people. Okay? Crazy, desperate people with nothing to lose and access to guns kill people efficiently and quickly. So the people that bring me the mental health thing, there's a few things I like to bring up. Number one is, what, we're the only country with crazy people? We're the only country with crazy people. There are no crazy people in Japan or England or France or Germany. Oh, yes, there are crazy people in those countries. Those people just can't get guns. And the other one is, of course, all you people that are so fond of the Second Amendment, you're the ones who are voting for the Republicans who keep the Second Amendment intact like you like it. Those same Republicans are the ones that vote against every single proposal to increase funding for mental health care. So you can't have it both ways. I think I'll have one more for the day when we finish things up. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. And don't forget Stoner Jesus coming up right after me.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo!
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 55 after, we're just getting things closed up here. Stoner Jesus comes on next, and I don't know what he'll have to say about the events of this weekend, but it may differ from what I have to say. That's one nice thing, though, is we all have these different opinions, and that's why we're here, is to talk about them and work them out. So thanks for being here, and thanks for putting up with me for a day where I'm not talking about weed in hour two, because I couldn't think about weed today, to be honest. It really seemed just petty and small to think about compared to what's going on in the world. So we'll be back on the weed tip tomorrow. So, well, unless somebody shoots up another room full of people, who knows? So I wanted to close with one more bullshit argument. Right? Because one of the things I noticed about the gun debate is we end up talking about everything else except guns. We talk about mental health and violent video games and what the particular law is and so forth. But the one that pisses me off, this is the argument that just so stupid. Well, you know, cars kill more people than guns do. Should we ban cars? You know, a crazy person could kill people with a knife. Should we ban knives? Look, the question is not, how do we stop a crazy person from finding any way to kill people? The question is, how do we stop a crazy person from taking a gun and randomly spraying bullets in public places? Can we stick with that subject? Can we agree that crazy people spraying bullets in randomly in public places is a bad thing? And if so, what do you propose we do about it? Of course, the only thing the gun people can say is, well, more guns. Arm everybody. Have everybody packing heat at all times. How disappointing. Well, folks, I'm betting that absolutely nothing changes. So everything we've had to say here is pretty much moot. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Stoner Jesus. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.